I didn't know this. I was listening to the radio the other day, and they had the thing called a star registry, mm-hmm. where you pay money and you can get a name, a star named after someone. I was intrigued by that because I thought it would be kind of a cool thing to do. Well, it turns out, yeah, they write it in a book, but it doesn't have any legitimacy anywhere. It's not like, you know, put it in the Library of Congress, but you can put recipes in the Library of Congress. So you pay somebody $50, they write it in a book, but it's not like some astronomical worldwide thing. But that I never heard before. Psalm 147, it says, he tells the numbers of stars and calls them each by name. I didn't know God had a star registry. He called them each by name. How interesting is that? It totally threw me off on what I wanted to talk about today because I'm thinking of God's star registry. The other thing that threw me off, and I just can't help but get beyond this because I can see my mom in this, being on her deathbed with a fever, and me showing up with a bunch of my friends and her saying, "Can I get you something to eat?"
Yeah.
You know, getting up. So I mean, there are people in this room that I suspect would do the same thing. That, you know, your kids show up and you suddenly feel better and get up off your deathbed to get them dinner. AKA Peter's mother-in-law. We have been reading the last several weeks from the first chapter of the Gospel of St. Mark. Now, as you know, and I think I mentioned last week, St. Mark was the first of the Gospels written. It is the shortest, it is the oldest that we have. And it begins with a very interesting line. It says, "Here begins the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." I mean, Mark cuts right to the chase. Here begins the gospel, the good news, as it's translated, of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And then we have, in the first chapter, the story of John the Baptist, of Jesus' baptism in the Jordan, of him going into the desert to be tempted, coming out, choosing the four, Andrew and Simon, James and John. He goes into the synagogue, where we're told last week that he preaches with authority. He confronts two levels of evil in the synagogue. He confronts the obvious evil in the demon, who he casts out. And he confronts the hypocrisy and the evil of the religious leadership as represented by the scribes. And both of those will trail him throughout his life. Both the evil of the devil and the evil of the hypocrisy and the narrowness of the human beings that he runs into in the religious establishments. And then as the gospel continues, he heals. He's confronted with sickness. So as you notice in the gospel, he confronts evil. He confronts sickness. He does this within a support community of the first four that he has chosen. It can be argued that he's doing this in the context of the church, that he's developing his support community. And then he does something very interesting. He goes off by himself to pray. So this is the beginning. This is the, if St. Mark wants to tell us about who Jesus is, and we need to take this seriously, he's laying out kind of what's going on. We're told in the second reading by St. Paul that he proclaims the gospel, and in proclaiming this gospel, he is freed. How free do you feel? When was the last time you felt really free? Are you freed by the gospel of Jesus? Or are we sort of bound up by sickness, fear, worry? I think that, you know, I thought about this a lot yesterday when I went to visit Elaine. She could only talk with her eyes because she's on a respirator. Very, very thin, very pale, very sick. Someone that was really a cornerstone. And, you know, as I look at the letter that I got from you guys back in 2010 saying, you know, here would you, you know, the official request to come and to be a part of this community as a spiritual leader, her name is right on there. Sort of like Jan Hunt, John Hancock on the Declaration of Independence. And here is a member and someone that you guys have known and loved for many, many years, and she is facing sickness, significant, profound sickness. Now, the real challenge as we are confronted with evil and as we are confronted with sickness is to see that in the context of the freedom of the gospel that St. Paul is talking about, that St. Mark is writing about. What is this gospel and how do we respond when we are faced with sickness and evil? Because we are, and we are on a regular basis. Whether it's the sickness of a mother-in-law, someone in our family that we care for, someone within our larger church community, someone in our local community or our nation, how are we confronting? How do we respond? How are we freed by the gospel? When was the last time you felt freed by the gospel? Have you ever felt freed by the gospel? Or is it more in the context of church and it's just something that we do? There's a radical difference. I'm not saying to you or asking you, do you believe in God? That isn't the question. The question is, are you freed by the gospel of Jesus? Many of us do not have and may not have had the experience of St. Paul of this blinding light that knocks us off our horse. Potentially, we would like to have that. More realistic for more of us, I think, in this community is we've had those moments of grace in our lives that have come and touched us. You may well feel like Job in the first reading today. Life is a drudgery. I am just so friggin' tired, I don't know if I can go on again. I'm just a hireling. I'm just here putting in my time. Sometimes I've heard that from folks. I'm just a waste of space. And a waste of breath. I probably hear that once or twice a week, that my life is a waste. I'm a waste of breath and a waste of space. That's somebody who's not free. Maybe who's never experienced the freedom of the gospel. Who, when confronted, as Jesus is confronted, by both evil and weakness, has nowhere to go. But what is Jesus' example? Jesus goes to prayer. Prayer as related to the relationship between he and his Father. That there is that relationship. And in that relationship is born freedom. Now, life is hard. I mean, those of us who've been around the block for a while, yeah, it is difficult. It is hard. There is suffering. There is illness. There are those times when we feel, what the heck? This is drudgery. This is just work. Whether you're in Elaine's situation, whether you got a gimpy leg that doesn't seem to get better, or you got a broken toilet that doesn't work, or you've got a job that you don't like, or you're in a relationship that's proving difficult, or you don't have a relationship and you're dealing with profound loneliness. Life sometimes is drudgery. But we're told by Paul, and we're told by the gospel writer, that in the gospel of Jesus we find freedom. And that freedom is born in moments of grace. When was the last time you felt free? When was the last time you felt a moment of grace given to you and promised to you in the gospel? My prayer and hope that if it's been a while, that it would be again today. That you can choose to give your heart and your life and pray for that moment of grace. That moment of freedom when you can find rest. Come to me, all you who labor and find life burdensome, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon your shoulders. That's the words of Jesus. That in him we find our rest. May the Lord bless us. Give us his peace. And now as a community, we'll take just a couple minutes of silence and pray for Elaine. Not simply to mention her in the prayers of petition, which we will, but as a community of faith, who she has bound herself to, we will now take that moment to see her and to pray for her, that she knows that she is not alone. As I promised her yesterday, that we would offer this time for her and we would pray for her.